How's everybody doing? Good. Jared, stay up here with me. Can we just do this? I felt the presence of Jesus so strong in worship. It was like it just feels like a blanket of peace. Does anybody feel that? Just a blanket of peace. You know, in scripture, it talks about God's presence feeling like a weighty presence, the glory of God. It's called kabod. Say kabod. Kabod's the Hebrew word for glory, and that word is like a weighty presence. And as God's people, we need to know how to recognize the presence of God. And we need to know how to engage and interact with the presence of God. And so I want you guys to do this with me. Just put your hands out like this all over this room. Just put your hands out like this in a posture of receiving. And I want you just to say this with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I recognize your glory, your presence. And say this with me. Say, Holy Spirit, I receive from you. Speak to me. Touch me. Change me. Move me. Do whatever you want to do. You are the Lord. Holy Spirit. And where your presence is, there is freedom. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your presence, Jesus. Lord, more than anything, God, more than a message, more than a word, more than what we're used to in church, Jesus, we want to be used to you. We want to, or not used to, not familiar with, but we want to actually expect you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would raise our expectation. I pray that you would raise our hunger level. I pray that you would raise our expectation, Jesus. Lord, for who you are and what you're doing in Jesus, we're not satisfied without your presence. We're not satisfied without your presence, Jesus. We are hungry for your presence. Come on, I'm aware of if this is your first time ever here, it's different probably for a pastor to come up on stage and not just like jump right into their message because we're so used to that. But I love Jesus, and I love the presence of God, and I'm not going to move past his presence when he's on something. Are you following me? And so when Jesus is on something, you don't want to rush when Jesus is sitting somewhere. Are you following me? And even that language for people, that can be weird for people because we're not used to that because we're used to being so fast in our culture. And we're used to microwave, I'm going to use it like this, microwave Christianity or fast food Christianity or car wash Christianity, where you can come in and it's just, we rush through and we miss Jesus altogether. And I don't want to miss Jesus. I don't want to miss what he's doing. So just one more minute, just close your eyes, fix your eyes on Jesus. There's some people here, you feel unworthy for him to even touch you. And can I just tell you, he's a better forgiver than you are a sinner. His blood is more powerful than thousands of your sins. One drop of Jesus's blood is more powerful than 1,000 tons of sin. All it takes is one drop. All it takes is one touch. That's all it takes. It's just one touch, one drop of his blood in your life. And he takes that guilt and he takes that shame and he takes that condemnation and he reverses it in a moment. And so, Lord Jesus, we're aware. We're aware of you today. We know that you're in the room. We know that you're in the room and we love you. We love you. We love you. We don't want to move past you. We don't want to move behind you. We want to be right in the center of where you are. Your presence is better than life. Your love, your presence is better than life. And Lord, we want to hold on to you. We want to hold on to you. We don't want to let go of where you're going. Thank you, Lord. During worship, I just feel like I was under the impression that there's some people here. How many know that the Holy Spirit speaks, that he still speaks? But during worship, I felt like Jesus is setting people free of night terrors. And I just felt it super quick in my heart. I was reminded of my son, Cruz. He loves the movie Winnie the Pooh. Anybody love Winnie the Pooh? And Winnie the Pooh is the best, okay? Whenever you've got Tigger and a honeypot, the anointing is all over that, okay? But my brother loves, or not my brother, my son loves Winnie the Pooh. And but he watched this one where there was, it wasn't the Gruffalo, that's another movie for all you young parents, but I think it was like the Baxin. And my son had these nightmares about this Baxin character, and I was just reminded of it during worship. If you're here and you've been experiencing trouble sleeping and night terrors, don't be ashamed. I want you just to lift up your hand, because Jesus wants to set you free from disturbances in the night. Just lift up your hand if that's you. He wants to set you free, and he's going to do it right now. I actually believe, I'm not saying this to like puff me up, but in youth ministry, I feel like the Lord gave me an anointing for this. And it's like almost any time I would pray for one of my students who had night terrors, they would get set free from night terrors. So raise your hand again if that's you, or even if you want God dreams. Anybody want God dreams? Okay. That should be every hand. But come on, your old men will dream dreams. That means you take more naps. And so you dream a lot when you're older because you love to sleep. No. But okay, hold on. Before we do that, raise your hand again if you have night terrors. Raise your hand. The Lord wants to set you free. Let's pray for those. And then everyone that rose their hand, I'm going to pray for you to have some God dreams too, because we all want those. The Lord loves to speak to us in the night. But Lord, all over this room, I thank you that Holy Spirit, you speak. And Lord Jesus, you revealed it to me in my heart that you want to set people free in the night. And so Lord Jesus, I come against night terrors. I come against sleeping issues in this room, even if it's physical. Lord, I thank you that your promise in the book of Psalms is that you promise sweet sleep, soundness of sleep, and peace in the sleep, Lord, as we sleep, as we lie down, that we would rest in peace. And Father, I pray, Jesus, and I just anoint everyone's sleeping time, Lord, in the night, that the enemy would not come and touch people as they're sleeping. But I just plead the blood of Jesus over every person that says that they've had night terrors. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for God dreams. Now, this is everybody that rose their hand. You can include yourself in this. Lord, we thank you for God dreams. You said that when your spirit is poured out, that we would dream dreams. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us in the night season, that you would speak to us, that you would come and visit us, Lord, in the night. I pray for God encounters. I pray for face-to-face encounters with Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would interrupt us. Lord, when we're trying to get a good night's sleep, would you just come and walk in, speak to us, show us what you're saying. And I pray that people would look forward to sleep, that there would not be anxiety attached to sleep anymore. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. If you receive that, just say amen. 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 So good. Come on. How many know that Jesus heals? That he does that. He sets people free. So, so good. I just got one more thing. Is there someone here? I feel like sometimes we always call this out because we feel like it's easy to see healed. But I feel like the Lord's really on this. It's like lumbar lower back pain. If you've got lower back pain, I just feel like I saw the Lord straightening backs, healing backs. Even if you have scoliosis, I feel like Jesus wants to heal you today. And when we worship and the presence of God comes, when he comes in a room, he does what he does in scripture, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if you've got lower back pain, just lift up your hand right now if that's you. Okay, Jesus is going to heal a lot of lower backs today. That's a lot of hands raised. Okay, stand up if you have lower back pain, if you're able to. If you're able to stand, stand. Okay, and keep your hand raised. All right, here's what we're going to do. This is awesome. Not awesome that you have pain, but awesome that we're going to see Jesus do miracles today. Okay, so And I want to just share this. When Dan Moeller was here, I had 2 years of tailbone pain where every time I would sit down, I would feel it strong as I sat down. And then when I stood up, it was like wincing pain. And then Craig Shoemaker laid his hand on my butt. Joking, not joking, kind of serious actually. Lower back, lay hands on me. Prays for me and I get completely healed. 2 years of lower back pain completely healed. And so I just believe that Jesus is going to do that for you right now. So if you're around someone, can you just extend a hand or just gently place a hand on the shoulder of someone next to you? And here's what you're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. Can I teach you something before you pray? We're not going to ask God to heal the person. And here's why. That's just not biblical. God does not say, ask me for people to be healed. He says, go and heal the sick. So it would be like this. If your parents told you to go clean up your room when you were a kid, it'd be really weird if you went back to them and said, can you clean up my room? Okay, you're asking them to do something that they told you and delegated you authority with to do. And so God is saying, don't ask me to heal the sick. Just heal the sick. And so you're going to take authority over the pain in the back and you're going to command it to leave. And however it came in, you're just going to cancel that thing in their back. So, all right, I want you guys just to begin to pray. Go for it right now. And I'm going to pray over you guys as well. But just take authority over it. Come on, healing is easy. In Jesus' presence, healing is easy. In the presence of God, this is church, by the way. This is church. Lord, we just declare healing in bodies, that you're strengthening backs. You're healing backs right now. You're healing. I believe there is someone who's being healed of a back pain from a car accident. Woo, I feel that strong. You have trauma in your body and in your back from a car accident. The chiropractor wasn't able to heal it. It's like you still can't find peace. You're being healed right now. Right now. So we just declare, backs be healed. Backs be healed. Strengthen feeble knees. Straighten out backs. We declare to scoliosis and spines that aren't straight, be straightened right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You are the healer. You are the healer. You are the healer. You are the healer. Okay, 10 seconds. It's not about the length of the prayer. The length of the prayer does not heal in the way that we pray. It's all about faith. It's all about faith. Just 10 seconds. Okay, can you do this for me before you sit down? Okay, sometimes we do this and we hope that they're healed. And so we just don't even have them test it out. I need you to test out really quick because we want to give Jesus glory for anyone that's completely healed. So move your back. If you need to bend over, bend over. If you could do something that you couldn't do. Come on, if you just got prayer for your lower back and you have 50%, it feels 50% better, I want you to put one hand up. At least 50%. Come on, keep your hand raised. Keep your hand raised. That's amazing. That's a lot of hands. That's so good. Okay, and then I want you to do this. If you're 100% better, you feel 100% difference, just wave both hands at me if you're 100%. So good. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. You guys sat down way too quick. Way too quick. Okay, you're getting out of something. But here's the deal. If you got 50% better, if you feel a difference, 50% or even just a measure, I want you to stand back up. Stand back up. Here's the deal. Here's why. Because the Bible says that he's faithful to complete the work that he's begun. And Jesus is, he goes for the full thing. And sometimes, like I said, we move past what God's doing. So here's what I want you to do. If you received a measure just right where you're sitting, I want you just to thank God. I want you just to thank God for healing you, for touching you. Come on, Valley Church, can you just thank God with them? Just begin to thank God. Lord, we thank you for your healing presence. We thank you that you're still the healer. We thank you, Jesus, that this is not the work of man, but it's the work of God. We thank you, Jesus, that this is not New Age. This is not Reiki or whatever it's called. This is not any of that. This is Jesus. You're the healer. And so we just bind up any lie that someone's like, oh, I don't really know about that. No, this is the gospel. This is in the Bible. All right, before we even pray again, after we just thank God, I want you to move your back again. Just move your back, and some of you are going to be healed even just after thanking God. Who's feeling even a better? You feel better? 100%? Come on, that's amazing. That's so good. Okay, one more time. Thank you, Jesus. How long have you had that back pain? Piercing pain, and now it's 100% gone. Let's go. That's amazing. All right. One more time. Just extend your hands to these ones again. Extend your hands and just receive. If you're receiving prayer, just receive this. But Lord, we just declare a full measure of healing. Lord, even as the word's being preached, even for the rest of service, we just pray right now. If it was 50%, it's going to 100% now. 100% now. And Lord, we thank you for the fullness of what you did, Lord. We are healed because of the cross. Your finished work has accomplished it. We don't earn healing. Healing is a gift. Our good deeds don't earn us this. We don't not get healed because of a lack of faith or because of a sin we did. Lord, you are good, and that's why we're healed. Your finished work accomplishes it. And so we attach our faith to the finished work of the cross today. And Lord, we just declare healing, healing, healing in Jesus' name. Just one more time. Move your back one more time. Just amuse me. Just move it. Come on. I want to see if Jesus did anything new. Just move your back again. And if you feel better than 50, wave your hand again. Woo! That's a lot of hands. 100%. If you feel 100% better, whoa, so good. Look at all those hands. That's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. Come on, it's a good day when people get healed in church. How many know how easy it is for Jesus to do that? Come on, if you need healing in your body and you're watching that and you're like, what about me? Just put your hand in your heart. Just put your hand in your heart. Healing is easy for the Lord. It's easy for the Lord. If you need healing in your body, just say this with me. Say, I receive it. In Jesus' name, the fullness of what you paid for me on the cross. In Jesus' name. Amen. Are you crying because you're 100% better? Is that why? It's all gone. So good. So good. Come on, that's amazing. Give it up for Jesus. So good. How long have you had that pain? Years in your back and your foot. Car accident. Oh, come on. That's so good. Come on. Jesus. 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 Woo! Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. That's so good. Wow. 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 35 years. Lord, we just declare it'll never come back. It'll never come back. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just seal it with thanksgiving. We seal it with thanksgiving today. You're good. You're good. Come on, isn't he good? Aren't you happy you're at church? Come on, and you don't have to pay for that miracle. It's free. Healing is free. Some people preach that if you tithe more that you'll get a blessing like that. That is heresy. That's not how that works. You can't buy what is free. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Wow, he is here. He is in the room. Wow, thank you, Lord. Come on, just one more time. Just turn your attention to the Lord. Lord, you're here. And I know it's not just because Jared's playing the piano. Lord, I know that your presence is here. Wow. So good. So good. 35 years. 35 years. Do it again for someone in this room, Lord. Do it again for someone in this room. Lord, 35 years, that's a long time. That's like the man at the pool of Bethesda, 35 years, sitting, unable to walk, and then you stepped in and you made all things new. That's what you do, Lord. Wow. I don't know how I'm going to preach this message now. I really don't know, actually. Help me, Lord. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Wow. We'll see. I'll start preaching, and then if the Lord's like, stop, we'll just stop. Okay, is that okay? All right. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Man, that's hard. Thank you, Lord. His presence is so good. Yeah, he's doing it. Just throughout service, keep moving your body. Just keep moving your body. And if you're healed, just wave at me if you feel like the Lord healed you. Wow. Okay, so here's what I'm going to talk about today. Jared, you can stay up here for a little bit and help me get through this transition. Here's what I'm going to talk about today is God wants to cause our hearts to burn again. And man, I was going to preach it so different, but we're just kind of jump into it because we're just going to. But he wants our hearts to burn again. And we've been talking about Jesus at the table. But I want you guys to open your Bibles, if you can, to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. And we're going to look at this conversation of Jesus. This is one of my favorite stories in Scripture, but we're going to look at this conversation of Jesus on the road to Emmaus, the road of Emmaus. Anybody heard this story before? This is after Jesus died, was buried, and rose. So Jesus is risen from the grave, which is amazing. How many people are excited to celebrate Easter pretty soon? Come on, but we celebrate Easter every day. It's not just one day. We celebrate it every day. And Jesus is risen, but people are sad because they still don't know or believe if it's true. They've heard of stories and accounts of it that day, but I want you guys just to hear this story. We're going to read a lot of scripture, and then I'm going to break it down what I feel like the Lord wants to do in our community. This is what it says in Luke 24, 13, and we might read till 32. It's a lot of scripture, so stay with me. But it says this: the same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. That's a long walk. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing Jesus, him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" And they stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person," listen to this, "you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that has happened here in the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles." Come on, who's thankful for Jesus doing miracles? "He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the Messiah. Come on, stop right there. Has anyone ever felt that way before in your Christian life, where it's disappointment or discouragement has hit you before, where it's almost like you have hoped for Jesus to be something, but scripture says this in Proverbs. It says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And sometimes we put our hope in these things for Jesus to come through with, and then we get disappointed or discouraged that he doesn't come through with that thing. Some of us have been there. This is where they were. And they go from, okay, he's the Messiah, to he's dead and he's in a tomb. He must not be the Messiah anymore. And so they go, we hoped that he would be the Messiah to rescue Israel. And this all happened 3 days ago. Then some woman from our group, who's thankful for the ladies in here? Some women from our group. Jesus chose women to actually be the first people to preach that he was raised from the dead. Did you know that? So when people go like, I don't believe in women preachers, well, Jesus has a problem with that, and he wants to talk to you about that through his word. Women can preach, okay? So he says this, he says, these women actually told this testimony. These women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. And some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the woman had said. Then Jesus said to them, you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe that all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses, which, you guys, is Genesis, all the way through the prophets. So Jesus, because Moses wrote Genesis, he wrote the first five books, that's what's said, okay? He wrote, it's called the Pentateuch, the first five books. Moses wrote these books, and he's saying, Jesus taught them from Genesis all the way to Malachi. And this is what it says, Genesis to Malachi, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus, and at the end of their journey, Jesus acted as if he were going on. I love that about Jesus. He's like, here, I just dropped some heavy revies. Deuces. Peace. I'm out. Let's see what you guys want to do with those heavy revies that I just dropped all over you from Genesis to Malachi on our 7-mile journey. And Jesus, he's done this before. Anybody remember when Jesus is walking on water? It actually says in scripture he acted as if he was going to keep going on the water. And they're like, hey, stop. You know, they stop him. And it goes back. I preached a message months and months ago, but Jesus always comes where he's wanted. So Jesus is doing this, I believe. You don't have to believe what I believe, but I believe that Jesus is doing that because he's trying to draw hunger out of their heart and meet them in a place of hunger as he unfolded the scriptures to them. And so he's acting as if he's walking by. Come on, don't let Jesus pass you by. Do not let Jesus pass you by today. If it feels like he's walking, stop him. This is what it says. So he acted as if he was going on, but they begged. Say begged. They begged him, stay the night with us. To a stranger. Come on, my grandma would be like, that's stranger danger. I don't know if you should do that. But they say, stay the night with us since it's getting late. So he went home with them, and they sat down to eat. And he, Jesus, took the bread and blessed it. And then he broke it and gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. That's Jesus, okay? How crazy would it be? You're all sitting at the table. They pop out that fresh sourdough bread. We're all excited from that long journey. We're starving. And Jesus goes, hey, guys, blah, breaks it. Poof, eyes open. They see Jesus, and then he's gone. Disappears in front of their eyes. But this is the part I want you guys to see. Well, first of all, this is not in my message, but Jesus is always revealed through communion. When we break the bread, Jesus is revealed. And this is the other part. They said this, verse 32. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn? Come on, say burn. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Here's my prayer today. My prayer today is that God would give us burning hearts. My prayer today is that God would quicken our hearts to burn again. And I want to read John 5, 39 through 40 in the Message translation. And this is what it says. It says, you have your heads in your Bibles constantly because you think you'll find eternal life there, but you miss the forest for the trees. Let me say that again. You miss the forest for the trees. These scriptures are all about me. And here I am standing right before you, and you aren't willing to receive from me the life you say you want. Come on, I'm going to read that one more time because it's just so good. Jesus is saying, you miss the forest for the trees. He's saying the big picture of scripture is actually all about the Son. It's all about Jesus. And he says, here I am standing right before you, and you aren't even willing to receive from me the life you say you want. Come on, isn't God's word so good? It's so good. And so here's what I want to say. And Jared, you're awesome. You'll be up here in probably like 10 more minutes, honestly. But you can go and be seated or something. Give it up for Jared. Love you, Jared. Oh, so good. Here's what I believe. I'm going to condense my message, but here's what I believe that God wants to say to us today. I believe that we need a Bible revival. I believe that we need a revival of God's word in our life and in our hearts where it comes alive like never before. And I don't know about you, but when I first got saved and when I gave my life to Jesus, the first Bible that I got, and I still read an NASB because I think it's anointed and appointed, okay? But the first Bible that I got was a New American Standard Bible, an NASB Thompson Chain Reference Study Bible, okay? I could break your face with that Bible, okay? It was so dense and so heavy with all the study notes. I'm telling you, I could dislocate your shoulder so quick. I really could. This is a big honking Bible. Anybody got a big honking Bible? Raise your Bible in the air and wave it like you just don't care, okay? I see you, Blake Tillery, with your big honking, and Pastor Renee, with your big honking Bible. Okay, study Bibles rock. They're the best. And come on, iPad, don't close out on me like that, technology. But that was my first Bible given to me by my spiritual grandpa, Eldon Blanford, who I love so much. And he gave me that Bible, and when I was 14 years old, I got a prophetic word from a prophet named Dale Gentry. He's a Texas prophet, so he talks with an accent. Those are my favorite kinds. And he prophesied over me, actually not when I was 15, when I was 13 years old. I just got saved, just got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and Dale Gentry prophesied over me, and he said this. He said, son, you're going to be a nerd of the word. That was his prophetic word. He points at me and he's like, you're going to be a nerd of the word. And I'm telling you, I don't even remember the rest of the prophecy. I was just like, that phrase, nerd of the word, just kept like ringing in me and it like stamped my heart. You know, anybody have prophetic words like that where it's like, whoa, that like hit me. And then my brother gets this amazing prophecy. Anybody ever stand next to someone who gets a prophecy and you just get jealous of their prophetic word too? My brother gets this prophecy. He's like, you're going to be in Germany. You're going to be in South Africa. You're going to be. And I'm like, come on, that's for me, Dale. That's not for my brother. Give him the nerd of the word one. That's what I thought. I don't want to be a nerd of the word. I want to go travel the world and change the world, which I've gotten to do, which is awesome. But I get this word, and then it gets imprinted in my heart. I can't shake this word. I get an NASB study Bible. And I become a nerd of the word. I could not, you guys, I wasn't the one who got baptized in the Holy Spirit and was like, I don't really care about the word. I just love worship. I know we have a lot of Christians like that, okay? It's like, I don't really care about that. I just want to worship Jesus and just turn this on. But for me, it was, I just wanted to read scripture. I do love worship too. I love worship a lot. But for me, it was just the word came alive. Because I will say this, the first Bible my parents got me that I never read was a King James Version. I was like 10 and they got me a KJV? Thus saith my nameth? Like, what are we talking about? That's not the right Bible to get your 10-year-old unless he's collegiate level, okay? Get him an NLT or an NIV. But I get this NASB, comes alive in my heart. And I remember when I was 15, I was in junior year of high school, and we had this thing called SSR. Anybody remember what SSR was? I think it stood for like sit down, shut up, and read or something like that. And it was like this assignment that the teachers had us do. And it was, you had to read 800 pages of a book in 3 months. And I did not like reading books, but I did like reading the Bible. And so I asked my teacher, it was in sophomore year, I asked her, can I read in a public school, can I read the Bible for SSR? And she was like, sure, if you can read 800 pages of the Bible, you can do it. And so I did the math. Obviously, you can just do that by looking at the page numbers in your Bible. You guys know how to do math, right? Some of you are like, no. But I did the math. And 800 pages was Psalms to Revelation. Psalms to Revelation. And so when I was a sophomore, I read from Psalms to Revelation in 3 months. And I got to sit down with my sophomore teacher, and I got to tell her what I was learning in the Bible at a public school. So she would come, her name is Miss Flaherty. So she would call me, Jonah, come on, talk to me about your SSR. And I'm just like, Miss Flaherty, you won't believe what I read in Jeremiah this week. And she's like, I don't know if I really, no, she didn't say, I don't want to know. She was like, tell me what you learned. And so I had this thing happen to me where I just started memorizing scripture like crazy as I was reading it, and it was coming alive. And I want to just say this right here. I want to say this. Just because you don't understand the Bible or it feels boring doesn't mean it's not changing you. David said this, I hide my word, your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Jesus said this about the word. He said, I am the word. Or John said this about Jesus, that Jesus is the word made flesh dwelling among us. All of the scripture contained in the flesh of the Son of God. All of the word, all of the prophecies, all of the law. He didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill the prophets. He came to fulfill it all. It's all summed up in the person. Come on, if he's the word, how many know how important it is to have the word in our life? Let me just say this. You can't actually know God without his word. Someone's like, oh man, did I just hear that? You can't actually. I love your honesty. Jesus loves that so much. You can't know. Let me just say this. It takes God to know God. It takes God to know God. You need his word and his spirit to actually have a revelation of who he is. And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, the first thing that the Holy Spirit drew me to was not a wilderness like Jesus. It was the pages of scripture. Do you hear me? He's like, Jonah, you want to know me? It's not more conferences. It's not more laying on of hands. It is my word that's going to make your heart come alive and make you burn for me in these days. And here's what I believe. I believe America is where it's at because Bible reading is at an all-time low. Statistically, Bible reading in the church and in America is that, you don't have to pull that one up yet. We'll pull that up. It's too good. You guys, that was a sneak peek, okay? That's dessert. Hannah's on top of it, all right? But she's ahead of me. She's preaching with me. Thanks, Hannah. Give it up for Hannah Stiba. No, so I want to share some statistics with you. So Bible engagement right now, and then I'll tell you when to put that one up. Bible engagement right now is the lowest it's ever been in America. And also the way that they got this statistic is just crazy to me. It's the statistic for engagement. They're saying if someone opens up their Bible 3 to 4 times a year outside of a Sunday, we're considering that some engagement. So this number is for people who open up their Bible 3 to 4 times a year outside of a Sunday service. Someone was like, oh my God. Okay, this is the number. 39% of Americans open up their Bibles 3 to 4 times a year. 39%. In 2011, it was 50%. It is 39% now. And according to Lifeway Research, which is pretty credible research, and Barna, which is top research, only 24% open their Bibles weekly. Weekly, which is better than 3 to 4 times. Can I get an amen? Okay, but 24% open up their Bibles weekly. Only 10 to 12% of Christians have ever read through the entire Bible. Some guys are like, ooh. Only 10 to 12%. So let me just say this again. 3 to 4 times a year, 39%. 1 week, every week, 24% of America opens up their Bible. That's pretty good. Not great. That's not enough to change a country. Can I just say that? Oh, reading your Bible weekly, well, we're going to get there. I'm already jumping ahead. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to put those statistics up on the screen there for everybody to see. Thanks, Hannah. And you guys are probably already reading it, but I want to just help you understand what you're looking at, okay? The Center for Bible Engagement, really credible researchers, they did a study, I think it was like back in 2017, I don't know, I don't have that, but this is from their page. But back in 2017, they did this study with 8,600 self-identified Christian adults. That's a lot of people, 8,600. And this was the research that they did. They had them read the Bible 1 to 3 days a week, and they noticed very little change in their life. Very little. But this is if you read the Bible more than 4 times a week. Okay? They call it the power of 4. And this is what happened to the 8,600 people. When you read the Bible more than 4 times a week and your heart begins to burn. Come on, say burn. It says this, getting drunk, 57% lower odds. Sex outside of marriage, 68% lower odds. Pornography, 61% lower odds. Gambling, 74% lower odds. And then these ones blew my mind. Sharing your faith with others is 228% higher odds. When you read the Bible more than 4 times a week, discipling others, 231% higher, and then memorizing scripture, which I experienced as a teenager, 407% higher odds for people. When you read the Bible, you can take that down. When you read the Bible more than 4 times a week, and I don't understand it, and they were perplexed by it, but there's something about reading it more than more on 4 days a week and more. Are you following me? That it actually begins to change your life, but less than 4, there's little change in a believer's life. Are you guys okay? Okay, so here's what I believe, you guys. I believe that we are in a day where the devil knows that if the Bible is alive inside of your, if the Bible's alive inside of your heart, that the kingdom of darkness is going to get destroyed. And it's not just good enough to be filled with the Spirit and not filled with the Word. It's not just good enough. We have to have a marriage where God's Spirit and God's Word comes alive in our heart. And we become Bapticostals, okay? You can laugh at that. That was a joke for somebody who cares about denominations, okay? But it's this reality of we have to become a people who love the Word and love the Spirit. Where God's Word is so alive and burning inside of our heart. Come on, they said this. Wasn't our heart burning when He unpacked the Scriptures for us? You know the Bible, this is why I love the Bible, and all other books are just, they're just dumb compared to this, okay? This is why I love the Bible. I love the Bible because the Bible is the only book where the author shows up every time you read it. There's no other book that you could read where the author comes and sits with you when you open it. There's no other book. But every time you open up this book, you have the opportunity to have an Emmaus experience. Woo! It's the only book that when you open it up, it's like jumping into Narnia instead of you know what I'm saying? Here's how I think of the Bible. Anybody know the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Come on, this is the wardrobe for all you kids up there. And you're like, I want to jump in the wardrobe and experience Aslan. Okay, this is where it's at. This is not dull. It's not a duty. It's devotion. It's holy. It's pure. It's righteous. Come on. The Word of God divides soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It pierces you. It changes you. The Bible, you don't read the Bible too, by the way. The Bible reads you. When you start to read the Scripture, it comes off the pages, starts to correct things in your life. And you know what? You don't have, You don't have the authority to change God's Word. God's Word changes you. Just because you don't like something that's in this book doesn't mean that you throw it away. Just because you read something in here and you're like, I don't like that. That feels like, that's old school. There's new wine. No, this is the new wine. Come on, I heard a self-proclaimed apostle recently tell people on a Sunday morning that in the Bible it's old wine and that there's new wine. I heard her say that. That there's new wine and there's fresh revelation. There's new revelation out there. No, you're just bored and you need to get a life. This is the new wine. This is not old wine. And we throw this away and we just go, I don't know. I've been there, done that. I've read the Scriptures. No, let the Scriptures come alive again. Let the Holy Spirit breathe on the Scriptures and let it come alive. Let it change you from the inside out. The reason America is the way that it is because we have Christians who don't even know the Bible. The reason why the world is dark is because we're the city on a hill. A city that can't be hidden, a lighthouse for the world, but our light is dim because the word is so little in our churches. And it can be. And I'm not trying to dog church. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I'm not trying to dog other churches. I'm not trying. But I will say, and I've even seen statistics about this, that usually most pastors today, this is a Barna statistic as well, they teach, they only will have 4 scripture references for you on a Sunday morning, and they give you a little appetizer, and they hope that you're well fed. And it's like, oh, come on, it's so much deeper than that. It's so much more dense than that. And we've got to ask the Spirit of God. We have to ask the Holy Spirit of God and for Jesus to walk with us and cause our hearts to wake up to His Word again. It's crazy even preaching about it because it feels like something that we should all just know. And I know that all of you at Valley know this, so I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to the people online, okay? No. But all of you are mature, okay? But it's the online, no, I love you online crowd, wherever the camera is, some one of those. But I feel this burden in my own heart, and I heard the Lord even during in worship, and He said, Jonah, you're going to preach this message, but you're held accountable to this too. Because I felt the Lord, I was like, Lord, are you pleased with this, the study that I put into this word, into this message for today? He was like, yes. But it means that you're held accountable to it too. And I can't show that to you guys without going like, this is where I'm going. This is where we're going. Come on, for Israel, they didn't have manna that was past a day old. Do you guys know the story? The Lord told them, collect fresh bread for every day. Every day. And most of us, and myself included, there's been moments in my Christian life where I have lived off of stale manna from years ago. You know when we do that, where we talk about, like, do you remember the glory days? The glory days. And we talk about our first love, and we talk about all that stuff. I'm like, where did we lose that? We're not called to lose that. We're supposed to jump back into that. Let Jesus rekindle that flame of first love, burning heart passion for the word. Are you guys okay? And so that's really all I have for you guys today. I'm serious. I feel like I could keep beating the same drum. But I feel like I want to do this. And I told Jared, I was like, you'll probably be back up here in 10 minutes. And so if Jared could come on up, I want you guys just to stand to your feet with me. I want you guys to stand up. Thanks, Jared. I wonder what would happen. Well, let me say this. There's a church in Fort Worth that I'm connected to, because one of my mentors is a pastor there. And their mission statement is really powerful. Their mission statement for their church is this: we want to have corporate encounters with God here that lead to daily personal encounters throughout the week. That's their mission statement. I'm like, that's really good. So they're like, we want to have corporate encounters here that lead to daily personal encounters throughout the week. And so they challenge every person in their church to have a daily encounter with God. And the reason that they do this is because they don't want to be a church where the only person that's seeking God is the ministry team. Because it's so much more powerful when we all come into church and we've got all these encounters that we've had throughout the week, and they're just popping all over the room because we've all been in the Word throughout the week, and then we're not malnourished in our faith. Are you following me? Because I'll just speak for my generation, millennials and Gen Z. I love you guys so much. Everyone here who's a millennial and a Gen Z, I love you. I'm a millennial and my wife is Gen Z, okay? So I make that joke all the time. I'm not even going to make that joke today. But I'll just say it. Someone actually was like, was she in your youth ministry? No, she was not, okay? She just graduated, okay? No. But I love millennials and Gen Z, but we are so prone to technology. And even, you don't have to be millennial and Gen Z. Most of us, we spend more time in Facebook than in this book. Just be honest. Ouch, that hurt. Okay. But for millennials and Gen Z, we love getting information so quick. So sitting and spending time with God doesn't even like make sense to us a lot of times. We just go, well, I could just turn on a podcast for that. Or I could just turn on a weekly message for that. Or I can just get fed on Sunday for that. I don't have to do that myself. And I'll just say this, not a hard word, but just a truth. A podcast can't supplement for this. A sermon can't supplement for this. Because most Christians are living off of secondhand revelation. What I mean by that is we're letting someone else get the revelation for us, and then he gives it, and we go like, I'm good. I'm good with that. But did you know that you can go up to the mountain yourself like Moses? And you can see God's face, and you can encounter him? Come on, one of my friends in this church saw God's face this week. one of my friends, he's pursuing the Lord. He's going after Jesus. I saw him this week. He was like, I saw Jesus's face. And I'm like, brother, lay hands on me. Like, that's crazy. I need that. We all need that. But it starts with, let that little bit of hunger drive you to his word. Drive you to spending time with him. Don't just get it from somebody else. Go and get it yourself. If you're hungry, go into the pantry and grab some food. Okay? Open up the fridge and grab some food. I'm not talking about literal food. Are you guys with me? Someone, when I said that before during a sermon, someone was like, Pastor Jonah gave me permission to drink more Coca-Cola. And I was like, I did not say that at all. I'm not talking drinking caramel color and high fructose corn syrup. Just get in the word and let it change your life. And so I want you guys just to do this with me. Just put out your hands like this. Actually, can you do this? Put your hand on your heart. Put one hand on your heart. And I want you just to say this with me. Just every voice in this room. Say, Lord Jesus, cause my heart to burn for you and your word. Come on, one more time. Say, Lord Jesus, cause my heart to burn for you and your word. I want to be passionate for your word. For you and your presence. Draw me to you. Spirit of God, draw me to you. Because your presence is better than life. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for every single person that calls Valley Church their home church and anyone who even is just visiting today. And they wouldn't even consider this their home church. Maybe they're here for the first time. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would quicken inside of our hearts a deeper passion for you and your scriptures. That we would love it. That it would be better than the Netflix binge. That it would be better than Disney Plus. Lord, that we would. I know that sounds funny to pray that, but that's just the world we're living in. But Lord, I pray that we would be passionate for your word. Find us, Lord, in the early hours. In the night hours, whenever it is that we can find space and time, find us reading your word. Find us in your word, because your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. When we don't know where we're going, your word knows the way. When we feel tempted, your word is the escape and the route out of that temptation. When we feel overwhelmed, your word brings peace. Your word brings joy. Your presence in your word, Lord, it's what we need. It's so simple. Following you is so simple. You've given us your word and your spirit. You even said, Lord, that the Father searches for those who worship in spirit and in truth according to your word. And so, Father, today I pray that we would be a people who worship you in spirit and in truth. That we wouldn't just be people who worship you in spirit, but we would worship you based on the word of God. Come on, open up your eyes. Just one last thing. Come on, this scripture is just in my heart right now. It talks about the foolish man and the wise man who built their house on a rock or built their house on sand. And it says this, the wise man who built his house on a rock or a firm foundation was the man who heard the words of the teacher, who's Jesus, and did the words and practiced the words. But the foolish man who built his house on sand is the one who heard the words and did not practice them. Are you following me? And it says, when the storm came, not if. So many believers, I was just with some friends again this week, we were talking about this scripture. So many believers are like, well, if I'm good and I do the right thing, God will bless me and the storm won't come. No, friend, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. The storm comes to the righteous and the unrighteous. But the righteous are unmovable in the midst of a storm because we have the word as a strong foundation in our life. Come on, we sing, we love that song. Rain came, winds blew. We love that one, right? My house was built on you. That's true, but it's really about being built on his word. Ah, come on, somebody. So Lord, thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your presence. Jesus, thank you for healing people today. Thank you for your word. Come on, one more time in this room. If you got healed in your body, just lift up your hand. Wave at me if you got healed. Wave at me if you got healed. Look at all these hands. Put two hands up. Two hands up and wave. Woo-hoo-hoo. I just want to count just to give glory. One, two, three, four. Keep your hands raised. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Are you raising your hand, Carlos? Are you praising God? I'm going to count you. 24, 25. Come on, 25 healings in this room today. Jesus, you're good. You're good. You're good. So good. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for doing what only you can do. Come on, one more thing. If you're here and you do not have a relationship with Jesus, and you want a relationship with Jesus, you want to know him, know his word, be filled with his spirit, today's a good day to be saved. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Don't wait for tomorrow. Some people are like, I'll wait until I'm 30 to do that. And like, no, don't wait. You're not promised tomorrow. Give your life to Jesus today. He loves you. Just like Pastor Matthew said during transition, he loves you. He carried the cross for you. He was beaten and whipped and marred more than any person for you. So if you're here, just close your eyes all over this room. If you're here and you would say, that's me, Jonah. I want a relationship with Jesus. I want him to be my Savior and my Lord. I want you just to lift up your hand in this room if that's you. You're saying, that's me. It might be for the first time today. Just want to make sure that we made space for this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see your hand. I see your hand. Come on, man. He loves you. He loves you. I see that hand. That's so awesome. Anybody else? I see you. Come on, that's so awesome. Come on, even if it was just for one today, it's worth it. But there's two hands raised. And so I want us all to pray this together as a family. And for those that raised their hands, I want you just to repeat these words after me. I say this all the time. There's no magic in these words. It's about having faith in the Son of God. And if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised it from, or that he died for you and was raised from the dead, you're saved. And so let's all pray this together. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me, for taking my sin upon you and giving me a new life. Lord, you didn't just die, but you rose from the grave to give me a new life. And I receive that new life today. Come and live in my heart and help me know you for the rest of my life. My life is yours. You're the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just make some noise for those who gave their life to Jesus today? So awesome. All of heaven rejoices when one person repents. And so even those that raise your hand, can you come and see me after? Come down and see me. I'd love to talk with you. But I'm going to just bless you guys. Lord, I just bless every person here. I know I've probably blessed them 5 times today, maybe even more with prayer. But Lord, just one more time, I just thank you, Jesus, for what you did today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And I pray that the word would have a center place in our homes and around the table. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Give it up for Jesus one more time. So good.